Maldon is used to invasions. First, it was the Vikings in 991, when, to our everlasting shame, we were beaten by a bloke in a skirt called Justin. Then, not much happened until the 1970s, when there was an influx of retiring East London businessmen who'd made their fortunes in construction, the motor trade and insurance advice. These were closely followed by retiring cops who moved east to be near their bribes. That's history. But there was another invasion recently when this year's Maldon Town Regatta was overrun by sailfishes, four of them in fact. Ever since I moved to Maldon a couple of years ago, my sailfish, Marlin, has impressed locals with its quite exceptional going aground capabilities. In fact, I think I can safely say my high altitude sailing achievements have scaled new heights, which is no easy feat in a county as flat as Essex. All of which caught the attention of the organisers of the Maldon Town Regatta, who wanted to raise the tone of the event and add a splash of colour by attracting sailfishes other than mine. Personally, I was dead against it and tried to talk them out of it, but I could appreciate their dilemma. For years, the event's been dominated by blooming great big smacks, which, round here, are about as common as Ford Mondeos and a Billericay minicab rank. In fact, that's not fair, because at least Mondeos come in different colours, as do sailfishes with a palette of chalky blue and chalky red, as well as the more subtle chalky chalk and off chalk. On the other hand, Essex smacks all come in grey, and their sails are all dyed with the same stuff Essex girls use to turn themselves orange. Other than that, they're all about 500 years old and crewed by Fred Dibner doubles. Frankly, they're difficult to tell apart. Apart from the smacks, the regatta also has hordes of regulation clotted cream-coloured classic gaffers, owned by gaff-lovey media types who describe themselves as custodians rather than owners. I suspect there's some tax loophole involved. The biggest gaffer around here is a beautiful boat called Hardy, which is precious beyond measure on account of being constructed entirely out of timber from the True Cross. It's no wonder, then, that Hardy operates an exclusion zone wider than Iceland's territorial limits. If my sailfish, or anything fiberglass or wooden for that matter, comes within 500 yards, they throw 23 fenders, that's classic ones crocheted from vintage hemp, over each side of the boat. All the crew don face masks for fear of breathing in airborne osmosis spores, and the skipper shouts Perrier, because that's the only water he's heard of. So you can see why they wanted to attract sailfishes. I was dead against it, though, and for very good reason. For the last 2 years, I'd come second in the class for others. Now that sailfishes had their own class, I didn't stand a chance. They'd even made a special trophy, and that was bound to attract the cream of the top international sailfish sailors. The only saving grace was that the regatta clashed with a major Tupperware convention, so many of the sailfish elite were otherwise engaged. Even so, with three other sailfishes taking part, I knew there was only one possible outcome for me. Fourth. But I wasn't going down without a fight. As the race takes place on the River Blackwater, I helpfully offered my colleagues charts of the River Crouch. Next, I applied local ignorance and led two of the sailfishes aground on the way out of Bradwell Marina. Behind us, David Longfield in Signet spotted our plight and putt-putted serenely by. But the odd thing was that we were in the Mark Channel, where there ought to be water, whereas he was outside it, where there oughtn't to be. It's like that round here. Once afloat, we motored over to the start, but I soon fell behind, as the other sailfishers have all got really big engines with 4 or even 5 horsepower, compared with my modest 3.3. This avoided a delicate dilemma, as I'd wonder whether, as host, I should have opened the door for them and seen them safely over the start line before I got underway. Well, as it turned out, I crossed the start line dead last of 17 boats and 15 minutes after the gun. That's a record even for me. And that was about as close as I got to the action, as the fleet disappeared into the distance on a dying breeze. as the tide began to flood, I was still plugging down river, at first getting nowhere, and that was as good as it got. After that, I started drifting backwards and decided to give up. That's because I've got no backbone. I managed to turn Marlin to face up river and made a surreal scene drifting in parallel with a game little clinker yacht that was still pointed the other way. Upriver, progress had also faltered. Some yachts on downriver legs had anchored to avoid going backwards. I even heard of one that actually floated over the finish line in reverse. Now that's style. But none of the small cruising yachts made the finish. Yet, of the Sailfish, Bob Smith and Pal Ray on Bobcat were nearest to finishing, and graciously, the organisers awarded them the new Sailfish trophy. It was a grand day out, and if we can get more Sailfish to come next year, I'll be delighted to do worse than fourth. I'd also like to mention Ian Hughes, who's a Malden artist who created the fabulous Sailfish trophy that we look forward to competing for next year. Goodbye.